Ross Bowling Podcast.
You better listen.
Welcome back to the Ross Bowling Podcast, presented by Bowling Media. I am Ross Bowling, here with Cade Orris. Cade, say hello to the people.
Hello, people.
Cade, you're familiar with the musical artist Taylor Swift?
No, I've actually never heard of her.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah. No, I actually don't think like there's anyone in the world that doesn't know who she is at this point.
Yeah, many of you listening may have become familiar with Taylor Swift over the last year, as she dominated headlines in a way few artists before her ever have, between re-releasing albums as Taylor's Version, her Billion Dollar Eras Tour, and dating Super Bowl winning tight end Travis Kelce. Pretty much the entire world has been thrust into Swiftie mania. No one is spared from her wrath. And now, I want to say unfortunately, Taylor Swift mania has entered my home. My five-year-old stepdaughter has forced my living room TV to serve as another platform for Taylor to dominate, as the Eras Tour, Taylor's Version, has been streaming basically nonstop since last weekend. So she put out like a movie version.
Right. Yeah. Like got concert. Released in theaters.
Yeah.
And everything.
In theaters, did like $300 million in theaters. It was recorded at SoFi Stadium, which is where the Los Angeles Rams play. So just like one of her dates on the tour.
Yeah.
You know, kind of how like comedians will do like a taping of their stand-up at a specific stop or whatever. It hit Disney Plus is the platform that is streaming it. Last Thursday it came out.
Okay.
It is 3.5 hours long. 3 hours and 30 minutes.
Longer than a Scorsese film.
Yeah, Cade, you haven't watched it yet?
Oh, I turn it on like every night before I go to bed.
Oh, that's your go-to sleepy
time? Yeah, that's what helps me fall asleep, yeah.
So, yeah, in conjunction with this music movie being played in my living room basically every day after school this week, my stepdaughter is also now putting on Taylor Swift performances that she forces our entire family to attend. Where she goes so far as to, she's handing out tickets, okay? She's pretending to be Taylor Swift. She's announcing, like, who's ready for Taylor Swift? And, you know, you can't be a dick. You want to be a good parent.
Right.
So I'm like, me, I'm ready for Taylor Swift. Like, me and my wife have to, like, feign excitement. I mean, I don't think my wife is feigning it as much as I am, but, and then she, like, sings. She doesn't know like any of the songs in full, but she knows the lyrics for like some of the lyrics for a bunch of the songs.
Yeah.
So she sings like a mashup. It'll be like one line from Love Story, like one line from, you know, what's another?
I thought you were big Swiftie. It's been on nonstop.
Out of the Woods. It'll be like random songs, like all mashed together.
So she's not doing like with the actual songs. She's like doing it like
sometimes it'll be streaming in the background, okay, on the TV, and she's like under the TV, yeah, dancing and performing, but sometimes it's just her.
She's doing a cappella.
Yeah, and to be honest, it doesn't change the performance much. It's, yeah, pretty much the same performance from my stepdaughter, regardless of if actual Taylor Swift is up on the TV or not. But yeah, she puts on like a princess dress and pretends to be Taylor Swift. So this is the first human being, like, you know, when you're a little kid, usually for like little boys, or at least for me, it was like I would pretend to be like King Griffey Jr.
Yeah, I want to be like LeBron James.
I didn't do
like
blackface, but I'd
be a little frowned upon.
Want to be Michael Jordan, want to be LeBron James. You like go in your driveway, you're hooping, you pretend you're LeBron.
Yeah.
Right. Well, this is the first human I've seen her do this with, where she's like pretending to be someone else. And it's Taylor Swift, which I guess shouldn't be shocking. I just didn't see it coming. Like, the only point that my stepdaughter showed interest in Taylor Swift was, remember after The Bear season 2, there's the episode, I believe, Forks,
yeah,
where Cousin jams Love Story, Taylor's version, in the car. And that song kind of like re-exploded as a result. Because The Bear is a super, super popular show. Great show. Phenomenal show. Third season drops in June, at the end of June, I would note. June is going to be insane for TV. But point is, that was the first time I saw my stepdaughter show interest. Because like, we'd play Love Story in the car, and she'd be like, play that again. And then she started requesting it.
Oh, so it's like your fault that...
Sort of. I mean, at least, like, at least the introduction of it. Yeah. But then like, you know how I've talked about on Patreon some, I'm not sure if I've mentioned it on our public show, but like, I made a dad friend named Jeff. He's probably listening to this. What's up, Jeff? He has a little daughter that's friends with my...
What's up, hey, Jeff? How's it going?
Hey, Jeff, dude. His daughter is friends with my stepdaughter, and like, his daughter is a big Swiftie,
mm-hmm.
and they've become like Swifties together. So it's like, it's not just my fault. It's also like, at school, there are other little girls who really like Taylor Swift, and like, I assume moms that like Taylor Swift, right? Yeah. Like, I'm sure some dads too, low key.
Right.
Right. Closeted Swifties. But it's, yeah, so like, she's like emulating Taylor Swift, and she'll say like, I'm Taylor Swift. it's so fucking bizarre. But, you know, for me personally, I wouldn't necessarily refer to myself like as a Swiftie. Like, I've never been a diehard. Like, I've never like listened to one of her albums front to back. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
you're just going for the hits.
Yeah, well, but it's like half the fucking album is hits, man. Like, she's
pretty good at what she does.
It's why the Eras Tour works. Because she's been doing this for like, I think it's like 16 years.
Yeah, almost like 2 decades.
Her catalog is absolutely insane. Like, it really, you know, when you watch a Super Bowl performance like Usher most recently, you're like, damn, Usher really did have a lot of jams.
Right.
Nobody is touching this woman. It's fucking bonkers. Like, there's like 30 songs that I think 90% of the population has heard at least once. But I've definitely, like, while I don't consider myself a Swiftie, I'm not a Taylor Swift hater. Like, there were all these people, especially this past year, that were like, God, she's everywhere. Fuck Taylor Swift. I hate her. I can't stand her. You know what I mean? There's a lot of haters. A lot of people who don't like her. And I've never really been in that crowd. But not a Swiftie. That being said, I do, like, unashamedly jam several of her songs still on a regular basis. Typically, like, because I have Spotify. I'm a Spotify guy, okay? But then my wife is an Apple Music person. And Apple Music allows you to do, like, family subscription. So like, I got added onto her Apple Music to where I have Apple Music now. So I have both, is what I'm
okay,
trying to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And before I became a Spotify guy, I was an Apple Music person for a while. So for like the year like 2016, 2017, 2018, I have playlists on Apple Music that are like my most played songs from that year. And there's a couple of Taylor Swift songs like sprinkled in to those playlists.
Any in like the top five or that were like back?
Yeah,
at,
middle
road,
yeah, it's
yeah.
mostly rap, right? Okay, which right. makes it even funnier.
Yeah.
It's like,
you just got some Taylor Swift.
It's like Kendrick Lamar, Taylor Swift. It's just like, well, yeah. So I do jam some of her music on occasion still. Like Love Story is obviously up there, and The Bear thrust it back into a lot of my playlists. But some of her other songs I really enjoy, like Evermore with Bon Iver. Out of the Woods is really good. All You Had to Do Was Stay is a jam. She has a ton of jams.
Yeah.
So many bangers, as you would call them, Cade.
Right. I wouldn't consider myself a Swiftie either, nor like a Swiftie hater. But they do play her music a lot at the bars. And like, when I get a few drinks in me, I do like kind of like fuck with it like a lot more.
Yeah, dude.
Like, it goes.
The
like,
vibes are strong.
Yeah.
It's
and like,
infectious.
everyone else knows the song. I'm like, all right, fine. I guess I got to like, you know,
yeah,
join
the,
in.
Brings
yeah.
the people together.
Right.
It's not, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, dude. Removing all bias, anyone listening, it's hard to hate on her.
Yeah.
Like, it's,
I mean, she's undeniably like very talented.
Super, super talented songwriter and performer. But this stretch of time here, this past week, dude, where her movie is on every day, and it's like, dude, like it's March Madness. I'm like trying to watch basketball, and she's like,
No, Eras Tour.
You know, Ro, can I watch Taylor Swift? And I'm not, I don't want to tell her no. It's the, like I said, it's like the first thing I've ever seen her be this into, mm-hmm. for music wise, and I don't want to suppress that. Like we were already talking to her about, like, yeah, see at this part how Taylor plays the piano.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the other thing. Taylor Swift like busts out a guitar. She's playing the fucking piano. She's incredibly talented. But we see her on the piano. We're like, you know, you could learn how to play the piano. You think you'd want to take piano lessons?
Yeah.
And so far she's been like, no. but still, it's like about the idea of like planting the seed, right?
Yeah,
and,
like get her to like be a like a performer, like
a musical
singer,
person.
Yeah.
Dude, it's like the thing. It's the one thing I regret about my life. Like, I took piano lessons at one point. I quit pretty quickly.
Yep.
And I fucking love music. You're the same way. Like, I love music, man. Yeah. Music is a big part of who I am, but I can't play any of it. I don't know how to make any of it. I don't know how to write it. I don't know how to read it. And I wish I did. And so I'm trying to like use this to, you know, infect her with the idea that like you could make music.
Yeah, you could
do
like really like cool shit with it. Like, yeah. I like piano, like it was like super boring and like they never like really told you how to like play like songs, especially like when you're really young.
Well, it's like classical. Like the basic. They're teaching you like,
yeah. I'm like, that doesn't interest me.
Either really boring classical music or the basic dumb shit you're talking about, like chopsticks, right?
Yeah. Same with like, I did drums growing up too for like quite a few years. And like, it's just like the same stuff over and over again. I felt like I wasn't really learning anything. So
yeah.
I just kind of like, I just dropped it. I'm like, all right, this isn't for me. But like now looking back on, I'm like, damn, I wish I would have like pursued that.
Right.
So.
Right. And yeah, it sucks. Cause as an adult, I think about this with sports too. Like as an adult, you gain the wherewithal for how valuable skills like that are.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully for a lot of us, I know this is how I feel, like I've also gained the work ethic to really focus on something and be good at it, which I really lacked as a kid. So for like me with baseball, like with pitching, I was really naturally good at it, but I didn't give a fuck at all. And I had no drive or wherewithal for like how special it was or how special that time period was. And I'm not saying I'd be like a professional baseball player right now. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying I think I would have enjoyed my years playing baseball a lot more if I had the mindset that I do now about baseball implanted in my child body.
Yeah.
And I would have crushed it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and really fucking enjoyed it.
Yeah, having all that, like, knowledge and wherewithal to, like, you know, actually push yourself to, like, you know, reach that level if that's, like, what you wanted to do.
Right, right. Or even just to do as well as I could have in that time, in that time period of my life. And I didn't do that at all. I mean, famously, I quit baseball because I didn't want to cut my hair.
Yeah.
That was a terrible fucking decision in hindsight. Like, that was stupid. Because that was the last real, that was the last time I played a competitive sport. And that's one thing you really miss as an adult. Like, you do intramurals, but you fucking hate it.
Yeah, no, I think I'm out on intramurals now, too. So, like, I think my sports career is over with.
Yeah, that was it. See, it was it for you. So, yeah, that sucks. You miss it. And similarly with music, it's like, oh, God, I wish I had. Because, like, my mom can still play piano. And every once in a while at her crib when I'm over there, she'll, like, sit down and
play some stuff.
And rock some shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck, that is so cool.
Right.
I wish I could do that. So yeah, trying to use this Taylor Swift thing to kind of, you know, motivate my stepdaughter to maybe get into music at some point or whatever.
Or just pursue something like she's passionate
the
time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be music, but like whatever she's interested in at the time, you want her to like, look into it further, like pursue it.
Right.
If she wants.
I mean, the other night she was even like, I'm going to put on a show one day and more people are going to come than are at that Taylor Swift concert. And I was like, God, that'd be sick. We'd be so rich.
Yeah.
The concert movie on Disney Plus, it is undeniably entertaining. Like, if one night you were like, I literally have nothing to watch, just, and you're high, you probably should be high, but like, throw it on and just give it 20 minutes because it is fucking crazy, dude. And like, one of the things about it that's really, almost shocking is there are certain lyrics that, like, when she gets to that line, the whole freaking stadium blurts out the line with her. And like, you know, that's a cool part of like any concert you go to when people know the lyrics. But like with her shit, when it's every single person, it's like a boom. It's crazy. So it is very entertaining. At least the first time you watch it. I'm very, very sick of it at this point. So, but there's like several outfit changes, crazy visuals, dancers, set changes. I'm assuming, obviously not in the movie, but I'm assuming at the actual show, it's got to be 4.5, 5 hours. Because I think there's big breaks between each era. where they're like changing the whole set and she's changing outfits and like, yeah, so there it has to be. It's an absurd experience live. But one thing I noticed when I was watching this Taylor Swift movie, you know, over and over and over this past week, while she dances some, like she's doing some dancing,
mm-hmm.
she really does spend the majority of the show like strutting around the stage to the beat. There is so much strutting, like a comically absurd amount of strutting. And I'd never watched her perform before. I didn't realize. So she's like, she's not much of a dancer. Like she's a pretty basic white girl when it comes to moves.
See, I thought it was like the opposite. I thought she was like doing a bunch of like choreography and stuff like that. For
a little
shows,
bit, but it's
just a little bit.
It's mostly the dance. Like she has badass dancers around her.
Yeah.
And she hits like a couple of like little shitty fucking moves, but yeah. but yeah, she's mostly strutting on beat, like all over the stage. And I'm not making fun of her necessarily. I'm just saying, obviously, no one can dance for 4 fucking hours straight. Like you would be exhausted and dog shit by the end while you're singing. And that's another part of this. Like she's not lip syncing. She's like, she's belting out her songs. So it wouldn't work if she was having to dance too. But my God, the amount of strutting becomes really funny after you've watched it like 5 days in a row. You're just like, I can't stop focusing on the strutting. It's hilarious to me for some reason. But this woman is absolutely crushing it. So like, just to read you some stats here, this is from Tech Radar. It says, it's not exactly a huge surprise, but Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour has become the most watched music film in Disney Plus's history with 4.6 million views in the first 3 days alone. So that was Thursday, Friday, Saturday of this past week. It says over its opening weekend, Disney says that Swifties and a fair few hate watchers, we imagine, watched 16.2 million hours of the epic concert show. It's a lot of man hours being spent on Taylor Swift strutting. According to Variety, Disney Plus paid more than $75 million for the streaming rights, for the exclusive streaming rights, adding to the $261.7 million theatrical revenues that it had already made, making it the highest grossing concert film to date. And that was, you know, from the movie theater run we talked about. Mm-hmm. And none of this is counting the actual tour revenues. And at this point, it is being estimated that her tour alone will gross over $2 billion. So, like, she crossed the $1 billion threshold, I believe, at the end of December 2023.
Okay, yeah.
And they're saying she's on pace to...
Is she still doing the tour?
I think they took a break.
Okay. Oh, yeah, because she's in Japan, like,
right before the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. Okay, so she's, like, doing, like, the...
I think there's, like another leg.
Yeah.
You do, like,
now.
The European leg of the tour, you know, like, fucking Canada or something. I'm assuming she just hits every single country.
Right.
But...
yeah, the Swifties are everywhere.
But $2 billion, dude, it's crazy. Like, Taylor Swift this past year has overshadowed Beyonce so hard that Jay-Z had to give an anti-Taylor Swift speech at the Grammys. And now Beyonce is dropping a country album. And if you don't think that's in part to Taylor Swift, like doing Taylor Swift started as a country artist, right?
Yeah.
And then like pivoted to fully pop,
mm-hmm.
which was clearly a very lucrative move. Beyonce, hip hop, but a pop.
Pop, yeah.
Right? And, you know, and now she's pivoting to like this country Carter.
Yeah, she wants that country audience now.
Right. Which apparently they're not being very accepting, the country music audience isn't.
Mm, yeah, that's not surprising.
It's not the most shocking thing I've ever heard, no. But yeah, dude, it's, like it or not, it's Taylor Swift's world. We're all just living in it, kid.
Yep, can't avoid it.
You can't. Today's episode is brought to you by Shopify, Chappelle and Neil, Key and Peele, Faye and Poehler, Setup and Punchline. So what about the perfect duo when it comes to growing your business? That's you and Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling merchandise for your podcast or handmade kaleidoscopes, Shopify simplifies selling online and in person so you can focus on successfully growing your business. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading e-commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star, selling merchandise for our podcasts here at Bowlin Media. Pretty good supplemental revenue source for us and allows us to provide our biggest fans and supporters with shirts, hats, coffee mugs, mouse pads, and whatnot that they can wear and use in real life to show their support for us. And Shopify can be the platform that enables you to connect with your supporters in the same way. I've used the platform extensively. It is amazing. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/RBP, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/RBP now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Again, that's all lowercase, shopify.com/RBP. So some weird and wild social media news came out earlier this week when the Supreme Court laid out new tests for determining when public officials can be sued for blocking users on social media, which just conceptually is hilarious to me. So here's some from CBS News. The Supreme Court on Friday clarified when a public official who blocks a constituent on social media may be sued for doing so. It sent a pair of disputes over whether local officials crossed a constitutional line when they blocked users for Facebook comments back to lower courts for further proceedings. In a unanimous opinion written by Justice Amy Coney Barrett in the first case, which I haven't heard her name in a while, in the first case, which involves a manager from Port Huron, Michigan, the court laid out a two-pronged test to determine when a public official's speech on social media is attributable to the government and can therefore lead to litigation. Under the new standard, an official is deemed a state actor online only if that official had, quote, actual authority to speak, end quote, on the government's behalf and, quote, purported to exercise, end quote, that authority when speaking on social media. Social media users may then sue public officials for blocking them if those conditions are met, subjecting the government employees to First Amendment scrutiny. Which is just, like I said, conceptually bizarre that there are circumstances now where if a public official that rep, you have to be a constituent, so it would have to be somebody that represents you. You like, we're in Texas.
Yeah, so
it'd
just be all the people.
Texas reps. Like, yeah. Like, we couldn't go after like some Michigan senator, get them to block us and then sue them. It doesn't affect us. But if it's one of your reps for your county or city or state, or I don't know if it just has to be federal only, but like one of your reps and you get them to block you, you can sue them. And you know what that means. It's time to troll your public officials until they block you so you can seek compensation. And Ted Cruz, I'm coming for you. And I want you to pick me for your stupid March Madness pick'em competition that I entered so I can smoke you on the basketball court, Ted. Don't run from your destiny. I know he listens to our show.
Yeah, I heard he was number one fan.
I know he's here.
Yeah.
He didn't listening. Know who we were.
But now he knows.
But now he knows, and I know he listens.
And you're in his pick'em.
Pick me, dude.
Where you pick just the national champion and not any of the other games.
Yeah, I need the Cougars to come through and win this thing so I have a shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of sucks for all the people that pick Kentucky. Looks like they're out of it already.
Brackets busted.
Yeah.
Yeah, March Madness has begun, and while I admittedly watch almost zero college basketball during the regular season, I freaking love March Madness. It's so much fun. You don't watch college basketball. I've never seen you watch college basketball.
No, I'm not a big college basketball guy. It's mostly college football for me.
Don't care about the hoops?
No, not really.
What about March Madness?
It's cool. Like, I mean, it's nice having like a bunch of games on during the day so you can, you know, like when you're walking by, you can see what's going on. But like, I'm not too big on it either.
What about when it gets to like the Final Four or whatever? Do you pay more attention or no?
No, not really. I'm just not big on college basketball.
Fair enough. I'm bandwagoning the Houston Cougars. Like I said, my wife went there. My brother went to U of H as well, and I'm from Houston. So, you know, Texas State, we don't like.
You don't really got the good sports.
I don't really
teams.
Have sports loyalty there. Yeah. So I'm also, admittedly, for the first year really ever, rooting for the Texas Longhorns because we live in Austin, and the newest member of Bowling Media, ad salesman Dan, is a UT graduate as well. The city is just kind of more fun when the Longhorns are doing well in sports.
Yeah,
I'm sure you've noticed this out at the bars.
Yeah, during football season, like there's especially a bunch of UT fans out and about, so it's fun. Especially when they lose, you know, you can just shit on them some more. You know,
it's kind of a win-win for us.
Yeah,
if they win, The city is more upbeat if they lose. Good shit talking opportunity.
Right.
Which I enjoy. I also did a bracket this year, last year, as I mentioned on Patreon this week. I didn't really get the chance to be, you know, balls deep in March Madness like I am now because my son had just been born, so I was just focused on trying to figure out how to be a dad. Didn't even do a bracket. This year, I'm in one group. Again, my dad friend Jeff, it's his bracket contest or whatever.
Oh, wait, so I thought it was like your dad's friend Jeff. No,
he's my dad friend.
Oh, okay.
Jeff. Yeah.
I was so confused when you sent that to me the first time.
Oh, dude, you thought it was just some old guy?
Yeah.
Well, like some even older guy?
Yeah, just like that your dad was friends
like
with.
Like a 70-year-old man?
Yeah.
They run some bracket contest?
Yeah, that makes more sense now. Okay.
Okay, yeah, you get it.
Yeah.
Currently tied for first place, though, in that group that I'm in this year, which is, you know, it's very typical of these bracket contests because I literally had no idea what I was doing when I was filling mine out, and now I'm doing great through the first 2 days.
Yeah, no, that's kind of why I didn't do one this year, because I knew I was going to get a perfect bracket, so I was like, you know, I'll just let someone else win.
Yeah, you didn't want to be selfish.
Shine. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right, yeah.
I also love betting on March Madness. It's one of the best sporting events in the world to bet on each year. Like, for example, I'm currently on UAB +6.5 versus San Diego State, which is going on as we speak. UAB is down 2, 20 seconds left in the game. I look like I'm good there.
Yeah, should be all right.
Should be a nice little
cover.
You
did all right yesterday, too.
Had a great day. Went 5-2.
Yeah.
If UAB doesn't blow this somehow, then I'll be 2-0 today so far.
Good stuff. And the other two
should have won.
Yeah.
Really should have won. Both choke jobs. There was Nevada and
Drake.
Drake both blew it badly. Mm. It's one of those things. March Madness, you see meltdowns like you don't see anywhere else in sports. These college kids, the pressure gets to them. And they just fucking crumble.
Right.
And because basketball, different kind of sport, like football, you don't really see it, that doesn't really happen.
No, there really aren't like too many upsets, especially like when it's like Alabama's not going to lose to like, I don't know, fucking Chattanooga or some shit
right.
in football ever. But like in basketball, it's a completely different story.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, the mental side of it is crazy because it's one and done. Like if you lose, you're fucked.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch these kids, like you just see their. They blow it.
Yeah.
A complete, like, whole teams, all five players completely fall apart, and it's amazing. Now, 65-68, now 6 seconds left. Surely I'm fine. It's fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
You're good. 6.5. Okay, I'm good. I don't even know what UAB stands for.
Yeah, that's the thing with, like, all these, like smaller teams. Like, I just don't, never heard of them before, don't know where.
Dude, like, Oakland yesterday. Yeah. You see that, you assume. It's in Oakland, California.
Yeah, that's not the case.
It's in like fucking Michigan or something. Some random ass state, I swear to God.
Yeah, that's... I saw
something
about that
to do with the Oakland
too,
we all know. Yeah. But yeah, go UAB, a huge fan. And that's the thing about March Madness. It's also fun, though. It's like betting on all these different games during the tournament and sweating out covers for teams that you don't even know where they are, what their mascot is, what their initials stand for.
Yeah. There's always just some random dude that'll go off for like 30 too.
Yeah, random whites.
Yeah, that's gonna be like an accountant or something like that in the future, and just giving future NBA players buckets.
Yeah, that dude on Oakland was hysterical in the post game interview. He was like, "I know I'm not gonna be in the NBA."
Right.
Basically being like, "This is my moment."
Yeah.
This is it.
This is one shining moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I hate that song. That I do not like about March Madness. That song, something about it deeply upsets me.
For a lot of other people, it's the opposite. Everyone loves that song.
It's the cheesiest song ever.
It really is. Yeah, I'm not a fan of it either.
No, they should play Future's March Madness when the thing ends.
Yeah, that would go a lot harder.
It goes so much harder. That song never gets old to me.
No.
But yeah, speaking of which, today's episode is also brought to you by MyBookie. The greatest time of year for sports betting is upon us with March Madness popping off right now. The NBA season heating up with the playoffs approaching, Major League Baseball returning. Sports! If you're looking for a sports book or want to switch to a sports book that sponsors your favorite podcast, MyBookie has everything you need. They've got a fantastic and easy-to-use website that's great on desktop and mobile, so you can make your picks on the go. Live betting, odds boosts, super contests, all the major sports like basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, football, golf, F1, and even volleyball, tennis, esports, plus a live casino. Everything you expect in a great sports book, MyBookie has it all. And right now, when you sign up using code ROSS to make your first deposit, you'll unlock a 50% sign-up bonus up to $1,000. So if you sign up and deposit $100, let's say, using code Ross, what's 50% of 100, Cade? You can do this math quick.
50
bucks. So they'll throw an additional 50 bucks into your account for you to play with. Stipulations apply. Just head to mybookie.ag today and use code Ross when you make your first deposit to unlock that 50% sign-up bonus up to $1,000 and enjoy all the madness that March and MyBookie have to offer. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. All right, we've got an insane headline of the day. Cade sent me this one. First of all, UAB did cover.
Good stuff. It's huge.
They almost choked it away. 69-65, SDSU, nice. San Diego State moves on. This is your headline. Huckster behind Willy Wonka event also sells AI-written vaccine conspiracy books. So, you, I mean, you saw the Willy Wonka shit when it first came out, right?
I actually thought we were going to talk about that at some point.
Yeah.
When it first originally happened.
It was one of those ones that was so obvious that I was like, we can't cover this.
Because
like every, I saw, it's like so many podcasts were all over that. I was just like, there's, I have nothing to add.
Mm-hmm.
But the story going even further, like they found out all this information about the guy behind it, which we'll get to in a second, made me want to talk about it. Because it's just, it's the perfect headline to sort of show where we are at as a society,
mm-hmm,
in several different ways. And like, first of all, so the obviously the Wonka movie with Timothée Chalamet, you know, it came out in theaters, actually performed really, really well at the box office. I think I saw a thing that said Timothée is the first, it's how you pronounce it. Yeah. It's the first, by the way, I saw him on a talk show promoting Dune Part 2.
Oh yeah.
Where I think it was Kimmel asks him how he pronounces his last or his name,
mm-hmm,
and that is how you pronounce it.
Timothée.
Like,
Timothée
Chalamet. But he was like, I don't hold people to that. You can call me whatever, like Timothy, yeah. Big Timmy, Big Tim, whatever you Tim. Want. Like he said, he doesn't care at all, which I respected. But yeah, I saw a stat that said he's the first leading man since like 1997 or some shit to have two movies hit some box office mark in the same year.
Mm-hmm.
And like one of the things that's gotten discussed a lot over the last 20 years is how like it's like the death of the movie star, that there's nobody that really like carries films the way that guys like Tom Cruise, for example, used to or whatever, like
Brad
back in the
Pitt,
day.
Yeah, yeah. Leo, yeah.
Yeah, and he, Timmy, is kind of the first one in this generation to like, to do that, to be that guy.
Yeah.
No, which is sick.
He is definitely that guy now, it seems like. I am a huge fan of him now. And like, whatever he's in, I will probably go watch.
So have you watched Wonka yet?
No.
Have you seen? It just hit streaming.
Yeah, so like I do plan on watching it.
It's on Max
now.
Yeah,
Max, yeah. So yeah, that's on my list of things to watch. I just didn't feel like going to the theater for it.
Oh, hell no.
So I was like, yeah, I don't know.
I think it's like a musical. It's like.
Yeah.
Kind of.
So, like, so was the first one.
Which one?
The first Willy Wonka.
Nuh-uh. Oh, you mean the one with Johnny Depp?
No, with Gene Wilder.
It's not a... Oh, well, yeah, I guess technically, yeah, they do break out into song.
Yeah.
Kind of throughout the film. But when I think of a musical, it's like almost all music. And I don't know if that's the case with Wonka either.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Les Mis, there's like very few lines that are just delivered straight up. It's like mostly people singing at each other, which makes it super fucking awkward and kind of hilarious. But, dude, the first one with Gene Wilder, which I think is Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, or Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is the Johnny Depp one.
And that's the book title. The book that all these are based on is Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which I had to read in middle school. The Johnny Depp one is dog shit.
Yeah, that one, didn't Tim Burton make that one?
Yes.
And yeah, it just has his...
I like Tim Burton, but that just, it didn't work. And the explanation that I've seen given and that I give... The first one, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory with Gene Wilder, works because you genuinely believe Gene Wilder's Willy Wonka might let all these kids die.
Yeah.
Like, he's kind of a sick, twisted fuck.
He really is.
And there's some really dark moments in that film where you're like, what is happening right here? Like, when they go on the boat through the tunnel or whatever.
Yeah, and they just have, like, all those, like, images flashing.
It's like a bad acid trip in there, dude. It's fucked up in there. That movie works because Wonka is a sicko.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie. Love that movie. I still try to put it on regularly. My wife won't watch it with me because I think it scarred her as a child. But I fucking love that. But yeah, so the Wonka movie came out. And this dude, I'll read you part of the story about back to the sham Willy Wonka event and the AI written vaccine conspiracy books from Rolling Stone here. Parents are furious at a man who charged them as much as £35, around $44, per ticket for a Willy Wonka-themed family event in Glasgow, Scotland this weekend. This was like 2 weekends ago. That's because the immersive experience sold to them by a sketchy company called House of Illuminati turned out to be little more than a few set props and unprepared actors in a mostly barren warehouse with no chocolate whatsoever. And if you didn't see the photos of this place... it was hysterical.
It's so bad.
Like, you and me could have put this shit together.
Yeah.
It's bad.
It literally looks like from The Office, like when Dwight and Jim like are throwing the birthday party for Kelly. It's it's just so poorly done. Like, they have like the balloons that like aren't even half blown up, and like it is your birthday. Like, that's what it feels like almost.
It wasn't good. It was. And it's also hilarious to me as a parent, because I know parents are always looking for somewhere to take their kids.
Yeah.
They're like, I got to get these kids out of this house. We're all going to kill each other. We got fucking cabin fever. So they're constantly looking for somewhere. Like, you don't really notice this until you have kids, but like all over the city as you're driving in strip malls and shit, there are like trampoline jumpy places and bootleg aquariums, and like those places exist because parents are constantly looking for somewhere to take their kids. Right, like back when I was a little kid, it was like laser tag, Discovery Zone / Chuck E. Cheese, that type of shit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Parents need a place to take their kids. So this guy was totally exploiting that and making this bootleg Willy Wonka thing. It says customers, some of whom traveled from afar and waited in a long line with their children, were incensed enough to call the police after, quote, it was called Willy's Chocolate Experience.
Love how he called it a chocolate experience, but there wasn't any chocolate there at all.
Yeah, that sounds like a black porn.
Yeah.
Willy's Chocolate Experience.
Oh, no.
Turned out to be a ripoff, and the organizer, Billy Cool, C-O-U-L-L, Cowell, hastily closed it down on Saturday afternoon. Pictures from the botched tour went viral, in part because of the contrast between the lavish, colorful, AI-generated artwork used in promotional materials and the depressing, laughably slapdash reality that greeted young fans of Roald Dahl's fanciful novel and its various film adaptations. Those taken in by the misleading promotion mobilized for refunds and press coverage in a Facebook group this week, alternately griping and joking about the candy-coated catastrophe and referring to Cowell by crude nicknames like Willy Wanker in memes.
It's
in Scotland, so
I found out about this, because like Willy Wanker was trending on Twitter.
Sounds like a Willy Wonka-themed porn.
That's kind of like why I clicked on. I was like, ooh, let's check this out. But yeah, that's how I found out about this story here.
Yeah. It says, but while Cal's attempt to cash in on a beloved children's book is already the stuff of local legend, the rest of his digital footprint reveals a new kind of aspiring entrepreneur that may become all too common, the AI abuser. It says, Cal, who did not return a request for comment, seems to be the sole employee of House of Illuminati, one of several companies he has registered. This one, House of Illuminati, was incorporated in November, so just like a handful of months ago. The company did not respond to a request for comment. The House of Illuminati website, like the Willy's Chocolate Experience website, is packed with AI-generated art advertising unparalleled immersive experiences such as mystique galas and enchanted retreats. The descriptions of the company and its supposed events are themselves almost certainly written by an AI chatbot, according to analysis by the detection tool GPT-0. The text on Willy's Chocolate Experience page is also likely AI written. So it goes on to explain that after he got popped for this Willy's Chocolate Experience thing, like after it turned out to be a massive sham and like people were calling the police, he got online and started like deleting his digital footprint. So like he took down his fucking LinkedIn, his ex profile, like he was just like trying to mass delete himself from the internet. I'm assuming because he's a massive fraudster.
Oh, yeah.
And was like, they're on to me because of Willy's Chocolate Experience. Yeah.
But you really can't delete your digital footprint.
It's hard to do.
Yeah.
It's hard to do. So one of the things they found was that he's published a bunch of books, okay? It says the 16 books on Cal's Amazon author page were all published in the summer of 2023. So he published 16 different books in the summer of 2023, some of them on the very same day. So he's just pumping out books, bro. Like fucking Stephen King on crack. And the synopsis for each of these books is AI generated, according to GPT-0 analysis, and so is the text between the covers, as one irate reviewer has complained. So you know how you can go to like ChatGPT and be like, write me a story, and then you just give it like the basics,
yeah,
like about a little boy going on an adventure that leads him to find a new best friend.
Yeah.
And then ChatGPT will like spit out a whole fucking story. He did that to the extent of publishing 16 books. And then Amazon has a self-published feature where you can just get on there, and if like you have an author profile, you can sell your books on Amazon, right? He did this with 16 different fucking AI written books. So like none of this came from his brain. He did almost no work at all. And like on one level, it's like evil genius shit. But on the other, you have to assume these are all so unbelievably bad that none of them could possibly catch up.
I think like they all have like maybe one star for them.
Right.
So
yeah, and I mean, if you base his work on like Willy's Chocolate Experience, I doubt these books have a great track record.
Now.
Right. It says Cal couldn't even be bothered to pen his own author bio, which declares him a rising star in the literary world who weaves spellbinding tales that delve into the mysteries, the mysterious realms of fictional thrillers and gripping conspiracies. It goes on to say, while some of the stories are generic puzzle-driven plots in the vein of the Da Vinci Code, others, like one called Selling Innocence, are geared toward paranoid right-wing politics. Operational Inoculation, for example, promises a conspiratorial journey into vaccination truth related to the so-called deep state, in which the carefully constructed facade of the vaccination campaign begins to crumble. That's the synopsis. And again, all of this written by AI. So the fact that the dude behind Willy's Chocolate Experience, the Willy Wonka viral disaster event, the only thing you can draw a comparison to is like Firefest, like somebody trying to pull off an event that ends up being the most bootleg possible version of that event. The fact that that dude is also pumping out Amazon conspiracy novels that are written by AI, that he's too lazy or stupid or both to even write his own author bio, that's also written by AI, is fucking hilarious. And then the fact that we have a tool that is its purpose, GPT-0, is to analyze written things and determine whether or not they are written by AI. This is where we are now. This is what we've got going on.
Yeah, shouldn't like GPT-0 like be working with ChatGPT though? Because like, you know, AI is eventually going to take over. So like, I feel like it would like hide the fact that it was AI.
You think it would lie to us? Trickery?
Yeah.
Maybe not yet. Maybe it hasn't gotten there yet.
It hasn't gained consciousness
yet. It's still learning, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing with AI right now. It's like, it's still all pretty dog shit.
Yeah.
So, but in a few years, it's going to get to that point where, it might seem like the real deal.
Yeah, you've seen like, there's programs where you can go in and make like President Biden or Donald Trump like say anything you want, and it makes a video for you.
Yeah.
But it's real obvious. If you're not a boomer, right? I'm sure like if you showed it to like, you know, a grandma or grandpa or whatever, like they'd be holy crap.
Yeah, I can't believe he said this.
They wouldn't know. But like if you were raised in the age of technology, like you look at it, you watch it and you're like, well, I can see his fucking mouth is moving funny. Like this is not real. Eventually, those videos are going to get to a place where we cannot tell at all. Like that's the fear. And that's one of the great issues of AI is it's fraud and deep fake content is going to get so bad. That we're in like the misinformation age already.
Right.
And that's going to get a thousand times worse.
Yeah.
Like not just a little bit worse, like 1,000 times worse to where no one will trust anything because you'll have no way to prove that it's real or not. And even stuff like, you know, celebrities have sex tape leaks. Like let's say Drake playing with his fucking snake, you know, 3 weeks ago, whenever that was.
Yeah.
Well,
it reminded me about that.
Yeah, sorry. And now I've got that image in my head too. In several years... That video comes out, and Drake could just be like, nah, that's not me.
It's AI. Yeah.
And we'll all be like, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Because that will be very possible. But it's going to get ugly. And this is like, stories like this are where I'm like, okay, now I see the fear. Because there's going to be fuckheads like Cowell who are just like, learn how to use, you know, shoddy AI skills and then go try to take as much advantage as possible because they got nothing else going on.
Before, like, you get caught.
And next thing you know, you got Willy's Chocolate Experience and books like Operation Inoculation floating around.
Yeah, it said he had, like, other events like the Chocolate Experience. Were there, like, any pictures of that, or is it just...
I think,
like, are they just like saying on that website, like, oh, he's also done stuff like this?
I think, but he was just saying he had done all that other stuff to give himself credibility so that Willy's Chocolate Experience would work out. I also, like, just, I would like to know, because there are some decorations at Willy's Chocolate Experience. Like, he's got, like, a little, like, gumdrop teddy bear or you know, jelly bean looking teddy bear and, like, a bridge with, like, some candy cane, banisters on it or whatever. I would like to know where he purchased this, the small amount of bootleg shit that he actually did manage to purchase and put together here, because if it's like a Halloween superstore or what. Yeah. I would also like to know if the estate of, I guess, the author of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory sues his balls off.
Yeah, I feel like that'd be an easy death for him.
But my God. Well, like, there's not even this guy probably doesn't have anything to win.
Yeah.
You know?
But yeah, there's not even a chocolate river. Like, that's...
Nope.
Couldn't even
drown in there if you wanted to.
No.
It's a damn shame.
It really is.
Gave a terrible smear campaign on the good name of Willy Wonka, you know?
Really did, yeah.
Yeah. Crazy story, though. Today's episode is also brought to you by Mood. If you're like me and have trouble falling asleep and staying asleep or relaxing in social situations or staying calm in general, maybe dealing with soreness after workouts, Mood might interest you, so listen up. Mood is an online dispensary with a variety of products tailored to set your mood, with product lines like Energized, Creative, and Focused to help you get in the right mood for whatever your day has in store. And for a limited time, Mood is giving the RBP gang a free THCA pre-roll and 20% off your first order. Just visit hellomood.com. Use our code RBP when you check out. I'm a big fan of Mood's Sleepy Time Delta 9 THC gummies that help me wind down at the end of the day, get to sleep, and stay asleep so I can recharge and get ready for another day of podcasting and getting my ass kicked by my kids. Mood is known for their federally legal THC, and now they're adding their most potent product yet to the lineup, introducing hemp-based THCA flower, the future of legal THC. Try it along with all of Mood's other amazing offerings like gummies, vape cartridges, and more. THC flower is Mood's latest and most potent breakthrough in the world of legal cannabis. Since THCA converts to THC when you heat it, you get access to the classic marijuana high. And Mood has 10 high-inducing strains. However you like to take THC, Mood has you covered. Great for both beginner and veteran users. Great-tasting gummies, classic flower, convenient pre-rolls, and so much more. Try Mood's new THCA flower today. For a limited time only, get 20% off your first order and a free THC pre-roll when you go to hellomood.com and use promo code RBP. That's HELLOMOOD.com. Code RBP for 20% off your order and a free THCA pre-roll.
And now, Russ Boland's Animal of the Week.
All right, our Animal of the Week is the anglerfish, A-N-G-L-E-R-F-I-S-H, Cade. Look it up, check out the pictures. You may recognize the anglerfish from Finding Nemo.
Oh, yeah, with the it's got big old fucking light.
It's got that fucking lure out front, yeah. The dangler.
The dangler.
Yeah, yeah, you remember that thing from Finding Nemo.
Oh, yeah.
Here's some of what National Geographic has to say about the anglerfish. The angry-looking deep-sea anglerfish has a right to be cranky. It is quite possibly the ugliest animal on the planet. Very rude.
Yeah.
And it lives in what is easily Earth's most inhospitable habitat, the lonely, lightless bottom of the sea. There are more than 200 species of anglerfish, most of which live in the murky depths of the Atlantic and Antarctic oceans, up to a mile below the surface, although some live in shallow tropical environments. Generally dark gray to dark brown in color, they have huge heads and enormous crescent-shaped mouths filled with sharp, translucent teeth. And I mean, while rude, National Geographic is not wrong. They are terrifying looking.
Yeah.
Like, this is the reason people are scared of the ocean.
Yeah, this is nightmare fuel.
For shit like this that's down there a mile deep, you don't have a fucking clue. You can't even see. It's pitch black. But this guy's down there waiting for you with a fucking light lure on his head and crazy sharp-looking, terrifying, translucent teeth.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like they have any dentists down there in the deep sea, unfortunately.
Jacked up grills, yeah. Man. Some anglerfish can be quite large, reaching 3.3 feet in length. However, most are significantly smaller, often less than a foot. Their most distinctive feature, worn only by the females, is a piece of dorsal spine that protrudes above their mouths like a fishing pole, hence their name, you know, the angler.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that. So only the
females have
that.
Have the little light at the end?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's tipped with a lure of luminous flesh. This built-in rod baits prey close enough to be snatched, so it catches other fish by hanging that thing out there. They come swimming up thinking it's
like,
food.
Oh, yeah, what's that glowing thing here and in this deep, dark sea?
Yeah, and like on Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
And then their huge fucking mouth opens up and eats them. Their mouths are so big and their bodies so pliable, they can actually swallow prey up to twice their own size, which is also gnarly. It's like with like a boa constrictor, how they can like swallow a person.
Mm-hmm.
Freaks me out. But this is where the shit gets really wild. So, like we said, the female is the only one that has that big lure on it. The male, which is significantly smaller than the female, has no need for such an adaptation. In lieu of continually seeking the vast abyss for a female, it has evolved into a permanent parasitic mate. So when a young free-swimming male angler encounters a female, he latches onto her with his sharp teeth, and then over time, the male physically fuses with the female, connecting to her skin and bloodstream, and losing his eyes and all his internal organs, except for the testes.
Mm, so has his balls. That's good.
He just becomes a pair of balls. Everything else goes bye-bye. This is the exact same thing that happens when you get married. And it says a female will carry six or more males on her body. So the females, these big badass fish that we've seen in Finding Nemo with the fucking sick angler, you know, fishing lure on it and lights and whatnot, crazy mouth.
Sounds like it, yeah.
It, that thing is living the life, and these dudes are just coming along and like fucking hitching a ride and then turning into testicles. And then that's all they've got going on. A listener sent me this bit on the anglerfish to convince me to do it as Animal of the Week. It says, it's just like another iteration of what we already read, but all male anglerfish will starve to death as virgins if they do not find and bite the belly of a female, where they will remain permanently attached, nourished by her blood, and breathing through their own gills. Their eyes and fins atrophy away, and they must forever provide sperm on demand. Because they're just a pair of balls, Cade.
Yeah, that's all they're good for at
what
that point.
What a fucking bizarre, but like you can look up picture, if you type in anglerfish male, like attached to female or just attached, you could see where it's like the big, like there's the female, you know, the yep. Big, and then there's these two dudes just fucking stuck on there, just
teeth.
Waiting to turn into balls.
Yeah, it kind of sucks for the males that don't find a female. You just die as
they
a
just
virgin.
Die.
Yeah,
that's it.
That sucks. That's a terrible way to go out.
And these other ones just become sperm farms that are attached to them that just slowly turn into balls. Anyway, that's our Animal of the Week. One of the fucking weirdest ones
good
I've
stuff.
Ever read. Yeah. All right. We got a birthday shout out. Happy birthday to Hudson turning the big 27 on Monday. Happy birthday from us here at RBP and your wife, Allie. That will do it for today's show. Please support our sponsors by hitting the links in the description of this episode using our dedicated codes as well. That's how we pay the bills here at Bolin Media. Again, you can find links to all of today's sponsors in the description below. To check out our other shows, go to bolinmedia.com. Of course, we've got Oysters, Clams, and Cockles, our TV and film podcast hosted by myself and one of my best friends of over 20 years, Mr. Barrett Dudley, where right now we are covering Shogun on Hulu/FX. If you're watching Shogun, come listen to Oysters, Clams, and Cockles with us. The show is awesome. And I mean both shows. Shogun and OCC are both good stuff. J-Bone is covering all the latest and greatest in the world of F1 right now on Formula Bone, where we've got our third race of the season coming up this weekend.
In Australia.
Australia.
Yeah.
So it's at midnight on Saturday.
God, their race schedule has been so weird this season.
It's a shit show so far.
Yeah.
Two Saturday races. This will be the third, technically, on Sunday,
yeah,
but
midnight
Saturday here in the States. But yeah.
I'll just be hammered at the bar, just watching the race.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
I'll be passed the fuck out.
Yeah, you'll catch the highlights in the morning.
I might.
But they'll probably have it on like in the morning too.
I imagine. If they don't, I'm just gonna literally record it because I like having the race to watch. Either I guess this two so far on Saturday morning, but like Sunday morning when there's nothing else on TV and I'm still trying to wake up, have my coffee and whatnot. I like putting the F1 races on. My son fucking loves it. He's obsessed with the cars. He loves vroom vroom.
Car go fast, yeah.
Yeah, I want to go fast. So yeah, I'm probably just going to record it, watch it Sunday morning. But it's the Australian Grand Prix that Formula Bone has their preview out for right now. If you go to youtube.com/@FormulaBone, you can watch J-Bone explain to you everything you need to know about the Australian Grand Prix and the latest drama in the world of F1 all season long. Follow @FormulaBone on all the social media platforms and subscribe on youtube.com/@FormulaBone, where J-Bone has over 120,000 subscribers now, I think, is the landmark he just crossed. If you're a Houston sports fan, check out Banging the Can. I put another episode of Banging the Can out this week as well. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram @WRBolin. Follow RBP on Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter, and TikTok, where we are shadow banned into oblivion. I've said this already, but I think we're not banned on Instagram the way I thought we were.
Right.
But we're quite shadow banned on TikTok, I believe. Cade, where can the people follow you?
You can follow me on all the social media platforms @CadeOrris. That's KadeOrris.
This episode of RBP is presented by Bolin Media. We'll be back next week. Until next time, peace be with you and also with you.
Go low, baby.